Listening, task one. Listen to the first part of the text. Decide which sentences are A, true, or B, false, according to the text. You will hear the recording once. You have 30 seconds to read through statements 1 to 10. Karl Berlov was a key figure in the transition of Russian art from neoclassicism, which was a revival of the art and culture of classic antiquity, to romanticism, a brand new artistic and philosophical movement that prioritized nature and the individual. For Karl, it was a welcome shift. While he was taught how to draw and paint in the tradition of neoclassicism, he felt closer to romanticism, with its emphasis on emotions, nature, and mysticism. Karl Berlov was born at the turn of the 19th century on the 12th of December 1799. He came from generations of artists. His father, Pavel Berlov, was a woodcarver, engraver, and academician, so he wanted Karl to follow his lead and pursue the arts. Pavel Berlov was a professor at the Imperial Academy of Arts, where he not only taught woodcarving, but also shared the secrets of gilding, which is a decorative technique used to cover objects with gold. His father's position allowed Karl to get accepted to the academy without entrance exams and on full scholarship. The Imperial Academy of Arts followed the principles of classicism, which were applied in the classroom. In order to start producing their own works, the students first had to make exact copies of the works of classic artists. However, Karl Berlov combined copying the images of the human figure from classic works with adding different elements to the background that he painted himself. He often worked at Stroganov Park, even though painting en plein air, or outdoors, was an uncommon practice at the time. This approach paid off. Karl's early works made a solid impression on the professors of the academy. He received a gold medal for the Phenomenon of Abraham that he created in 1821 while still studying at the academy. This qualified Karl to study abroad. However, according to new rules, only the graduates of the academy were eligible to go. Luckily, Karl got sponsored by the Imperial Society for the Encouragement of the Arts to study and work in Italy. The main purpose of any study trip for a student of the Academy was to bring back high-quality copies of classic paintings. Karl took this task seriously and decided to challenge himself by copying Raphael's monumental fresco, The School of Athens. He chose this piece as it combined the elements of landscape painting, architecture, and portraiture. Several years passed before Karl was able to complete his massive project, which garnered high praise from his professors. This was Berlov's final school project. It was time for the student to become a master. While in Italy, Karl was also painting portraits and scenes from everyday life. Berlov used vibrant colors, clean lines, and balanced proportions typical of neoclassic art. However, he wanted to focus on an individual and his or her feelings and interactions with the world. This approach was not approved by the Imperial Society for the Encouragement of the Arts. It prompted Karl to part ways with the organization. This meant that he could no longer afford to live abroad. But the situation did not discourage Karl from prolonging his stay in Italy, since he could make a living from his portraits. Without the constraints of educational institutions, Karl was free to develop his craft the way that he wanted. Thus, Karl's full immersion into Romanticism began. Berlov was particularly skilled in coloring and precise sketching, which made his portraits unique and instantly recognizable. People praised the way that his paintings appeared to be luminous, as though they were shining. Little did they know that Berlov used what he had learned from his dad about gilding to achieve this effect. Karl's Italian paintings also served as a way of capturing the fleeting moments of daily life. Even before the Impressionism was established as the style that could encapsulate a particular moment, or rather, an impression of it, Karl Berlov specialized in observing interesting scenes and transferring them onto the canvas. And while that was fine for Berlov at the time, He longed for the grand scenes and epic landscapes of his earlier works. In other words, he wanted to return to making the paintings that recreated historic moments. Unfortunately, the Imperial Academy of Arts was very much against Russian artists recreating scenes from Russian history while abroad, as they were afraid that the lack of archival materials would render the paintings historically inaccurate. Since Brylov wanted to stay in Italy, he started working on an infamous scene from Italian, or rather Roman, history. The idea was given to him by his older brother, who was working in Italy at the time. Within 3 years, Karl Brylov completed his masterpiece.
Now you have 30 seconds to transfer your answers to the answer sheet. Listening, task 2. Listen to the second part of the text. Each sentence contains a factual error, which is written in bold. Replace the word or words in bold with the correct word or words from the text. Write down only the correct word or words according to the number in brackets. You will hear the recording once. You have 30 seconds to read through statements 11 to 15.
In 1833, Karl Brylov presented his epic work, The Last Day of Pompeii, to the Italian public. According to Brylov, his earlier experience of copying Raphael's The School of Athens was instrumental in creating his own history painting. The painting was a perfect blend of a clear structure, monumental scale, and vibrant colors of neoclassicism, with the emphasis on personal tragedy and the impact of nature that characterized Romanticism. Brylov used the natural disaster of the eruption of Mount Vesuvius as a background, while focusing his attention on the individuals who are portrayed in the foreground. Karl even inserted himself into The Last Day of Pompeii as the young artist who is trying to save his art supplies. As for the multitude of emotions, from hope to fear to pure horror, it is conveyed through movements and poses which were typical of the neoclassic style. While adding the elements of Romanticism to the painting, Karl was able to avoid criticism from his Russian colleagues, who still heavily gravitated towards neoclassicism. Brylov's extraordinary ability to walk the tightrope between the two styles gained him a lot of admirers from different countries. For the first time in history, a Russian artist was able to earn praise from the global community. When Brylov eventually returned to Russia, he was welcomed as a national hero. Both Moscow and St. Petersburg artists were competing for his attention and trying to get him to review their work. In Moscow, Brylov met another brilliant artist, Alexander Pushkin, and the two became fast friends. Pushkin's work remained a source of inspiration for Brylov till the end of his life. His alma mater, the Imperial Academy of Arts, awarded Brylov the title of junior professor in 1836. In order to become a senior professor, he had to create another history painting, but this time depicting a scene from Russian history. Karl accepted this assignment and set out to create The Siege of Pskov, an illustration of a prolonged battle for the city of Pskov that took place in 1581 and 1582. This painting, much like The Last Day of Pompeii, showcased different people, soldiers, peasants, priests, who came together to achieve a shared goal. Their determination and resilience are the emotional centerpiece of the Siege of Pskov. The painting gained the approval of the Emperor Nicholas I and helped Brylov advance at the Academy. While working on his next major project, painting the ceiling of St. Isaac's Cathedral in St. Petersburg, Brylov fell ill, and the complications of the illness forced him to move to Madeira in 1849. Having improved his health, he returned to Italy, where the familiar atmosphere inspired him to continue painting portraits and scenes of provincial life. Unfortunately, Karl Brilhoff's health issues were never fully resolved. He passed away on the 12th of June, 1852, in the village of Manciana. Even though Karl Brilhoff did not get a chance to personally educate a new generation of artists, his impressive legacy lives on and continues to inspire countless painters across the globe.
Now you have 30 seconds to transfer your answers to the answer sheet.